Hello, and welcome to AMO Kenzoku, episode 46. We are a group of four Bubblegum Crisis Boomer Otaku who talk about all things anime, manga, and other related topics. The Kenzoku are...
Hi, I'm Dylan.
Yay, I'm Sam.
Hey y'all, I'm Mike.
And I am tonight's host, Nick. Tonight's topic is winter 2024 season. Oh, I suppose I should mention, we are recording this episode on February 22nd, 2024. Before we begin, did anybody have anything they wanted to bring up from the last episode or any other previous episode?
Oh, a minor thing on getting Nia is you basically can't, aside from like used eBay copies and everything, which is just terrible.
It makes me sad. I must have gotten like the last like actual new copy in circulation then.
I mean, you can get new, you can still get a new copy, but it's like, you know, people are selling them for $60 and up for a sealed copy.
Gotcha. Well, I would pay $60 for Nia probably.
Yeah, it's just like
old Genion prices.
Yeah, it's just frustrating that it's like, oh man.
It is. I mean, I'm not too surprised. It is a very, very obscure show, I would say. So, all right, then, with that, I suppose we will go on to today's topic. So, Hashing. All right, so winter 2024. Based on what the other, or what I guess all the Kenzoki, or Kenzokis, Kenzoku, have watched, it looks like, I'm going to save that one for a bit later. It looks like we all watched Metallic Rouge, is that right?
Think so.
Yep. Yes, I watched at least a couple eps of Jem'Hadar the Henshin Mechanation.
So, yeah, maybe we'll start with that one first. I guess, Mike, I mean, what are your thoughts on it?
I mean, I'm only a couple eps in, but I'm definitely intrigued to see where it's going, though I'm not quite sure what to make of it yet, because they haven't gotten very far.
Agreed. What about you, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I only watched one ep so far. I will watch more. I liked it. Interesting to me was that it's a Bones show. Admittedly, I haven't been keeping super up with Bones' output lately, because, I mean, I think they've been doing stuff that they're just not interested in, like Iraka. But I was kind of surprised for them being the probably the last studio to hold on to hand-drawing robots and stuff, being kind of doing a bit more CG. It still seems like there's some hand-drawn stuff over there. But yeah, I don't know. It's just interesting. Still looks great.
I think one of the things the digital effects they use actually are, like, to me, make sense. Like, with the transformation sequences, I think digitizing that makes a load of sense, because screw trying to draw that. If you're trying to make it look shiny and mechanical, then, you know, using CG to me makes sense. So I wasn't mad about it. What about you, Dylan?
I think it's cool. I've watched through 6 eps at this point, all but the current one. It's a cool show. It has very cool stylistic designs. I really like the opening song, as I shared it to someone else, and they're like, oh, that's got some good, like, Paula Abdul beats to it.
Yeah, it's got, like, big early 90s vibes, which I totally dig.
Mm-hmm. It's cool, and you can definitely also see, particularly in the opening, you see, and then you I'm, like, drawn back. I'm like, oh, that was a total Izabuchi thing with the some stuff in, like, even the Eva movies in particular, and in I think some of the design stuff from, like, Shin Kamen Rider, because he was heavily involved in both of those things, and he's, like, the primary person who made this show. Just in the opening, if you look at, like, some of the way, like, kind of the electricity flows over some of the angel, like, wings and stuff in the background, you're like, oh, I've kind of seen that in Eva before. You're like, oh, and that looks the same, because it was a really cool Izabuchi shot that he did.
Is it really? That's fascinating. So it's actually That's super cool.
Yeah, once you see that, you're like, okay. Yeah, so I'm current with it. The story is kind of interesting and cool. I'm not quite sure where it is going right now. It's definitely a little slow on the burn, but it's got good quality, consistent stuff, consistent art and things throughout the whole thing. So it's one of those ones that it's a fun show. It's not like an S tier show, but it's a good fun show that I'm glad to watch. And I'm like, oh, new episode. Cool. I'll watch that.
I was surprised MAL was so harsh on it, like score wise.
I agree.
Yeah, that's a little surprising to me too. For me, it's cool because it takes a little bit from a whole bunch of properties across a huge amount of time that I like. So to me, I see a little bit of Bubblegum Crisis, a little bit of Armitage the Third, a little bit of Cowboy Bebop.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely a little Trigun that I'm sensing.
Yeah, and a dash of Trigun, and it's like I'm not mad about trying to, you know, take elements from any of those properties. Those are all properties I greatly enjoy. So it feels a little safe in the way it's trying to execute things is maybe my only main criticism. Like, nothing feels particularly, like, I don't know, surprising about it, which isn't, you know, not like it needs to, but I've only watched one episode so far, but hopefully it doesn't feel too, like, monster of the week, like, because they kind of throw that element in early with the nine sages, or whatever they call them, so.
Yeah, it reasonably stays away if it doesn't go crazy. It is also, I think it's kind of interesting. It's a very different look from stuff, and it's one of those things where you can see the person's art is shift over time because the character designs are Toshihiro Kawamoto designs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can kind of see the feel, but also it's not as sharp-lined as his 90s design aesthetics mm-hmm. were.
That's the Bebop character designer, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Bebop, okay. Golden Boy, 0083.
Golden Boy, definitely the most famous work.
No.
Famous or infamous?
Why not
Depends
both?
Depends on both. Yeah, it probably depends on the audience.
Yeah,
I carved that Golden Boy in the toilet jack-o'-lantern one year, so...
I still remember that. That's still one of my favorites.
You know, it had solid art assets.
Extremely good.
Yeah,
incredible animation and art assets for sure. And some real iconic episodes, no doubt. All right, yeah. So, yeah, sounds like we're all pretty much in agreement. Like, Metallic Rouge, good show. Probably not, like, show of the year, but definitely a watchable one. I think I'll probably keep watching it. It'll probably be one of the ones I stick with.
Yeah, that totally hinges on how it finishes, I think.
Yeah, it depends on how long it stops to go. Hopefully, if it's just a one core, then maybe, you know, it'll not overstay its welcome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But we shall see. The only other thing I'm kind of curious about, obviously, this one wasn't directed by Shinichiro Watanabe, but with, like, who were directed, he directed Bebop and Carol and Tuesday, and it's pretty much more or less confirmed that Carol and Tuesday takes place in the same universe as Bebop, which is pretty cool because thematically the shows are completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I wonder if there's maybe a little bit of that going on with Metallic Rouge or not. Hard to say. There's no official confirmation either way.
But yeah, I've definitely seen some people talking about that on some other places I'm at and picking up that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, so we'll see if they drop any. I hope they don't do anything too heavy-handed. I think keeping it, you know, mysterious is totally okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see. Anything else that we all watch? I mean, the only other one I'm immediately seeing, it looks like we also all watched Delicious in Dungeon, which, surprise, surprise, is, you know, was one of the pretty, for me, I mean, is one of the very anticipated ones. I think when it comes to manga, Sam, you read the manga quite a while back, right?
Yeah, although I must say I haven't been keeping current, but I mean, I definitely got pretty far. I want to say like got to volume like 7 or 8.
That's far enough.
Yeah, I was super excited for this. I will say, just because I mean I know everybody loves the show and I do love the show, and so I feel like I can say this a little bit, that Trigger is not my favorite studio. Their animation is always top notch, and they're always best when adapting someone else's work, it seems like. So like, obviously, Delicious in Dungeon is, you know, a manga, and they do a really great job. I feel there's something off about it, and I'm not sure what it is with like the pacing of it or the timing. I don't know. I still super enjoy it.
I kind of feel what you're saying. Like, something feels a little off, and it's hard to put a finger on what.
Yeah.
But I do agree. Sometimes, but again, execution-wise, I have nothing to complain on. It is beautiful to look at. They've adapted. I completely agree. I think Trigger is at their best when it doesn't necessarily have to be something that's like handed to them, you know, and on a silver platter, like with a manga that where they can succeed. Like, I feel like Cyberpunk was great.
Oh yeah,
and that was taking an established world and kind of, you know, themes and settings, but they got to make a story out of it. And goddamn, that show was a masterpiece. Like, yes, one of the best period of the last few years, honestly. So they can definitely exceed at making great stories. But I do agree with Delicious in Dungeon. Something feels a little. Not something, I don't know, I can't put my finger on it, but yeah, I love it, but I can't definitively say that this is like a show of the year candidate for me yet. I don't know, how do you feel about it, Mike?
Yeah, pretty much the same. Like, I'm really enjoying it, and the quality is top notch. It's kind of interesting. It's reminding me of, like, if you took Made in Abyss, but focused on the cooking.
Well, that's
a I definitely get that. I get a bit of that for sure.
I think it's
like
all right.
As far as the dungeon ecology and interesting creatures type stuff, though, obviously diving a bit more into it.
I don't know. I've watched five ups. Like, I think it's all right. Like, I don't think it's my favorite show of the season. It's consistently nicely done, but it's another one where it's like, yeah, it's meal of the week. Which is fine, and it's a show I'm like, yeah, you know what, this is a fun, I'm never, like, disappointed in being like, oh man, I'm just gonna stop watching this show, but it's not one where I'm like, this is definitely the best show of the year. Or the season. That's where I'm like, alright.
I think, yeah, like, if I'm gonna evaluate it on maybe best show of the year, the thing it's lacking is maybe more of a, like you say, it's a meal of the week, which is super enjoyable, and I love it, but it doesn't have, like, the suspenseful, cohesive story. Like, nominally they're going to save Lyos's sister, but that's not really driving much of the episode to episode story.
Yeah,
doesn't feel like there's really stakes at this point.
Yeah, they haven't found any stakes. It's mostly vegetables.
Yeah, well, and there aren't really stakes that much, because, you know, if you die, you can just get revived. Although I do like that there's a, you know, there's a cost to that, right? Like, somebody's got to come by and revive you, or, if, you know, if you don't have somebody in your party, blah, blah, blah. It's a really
great
world.
Enjoy that they do a little bit of, like, they leans hard into the, here are the rules of this RPG world, and it's a lot like an RPG game where, you know, there's, you can be revived and there's a cost, and, you know, you lose your gear and all that stuff. I will say the other area where I'm very impressed with is I do think that it's cast very well. I think the voice cast is, like, very, very good. I was totally thrown for a doozy because I could have sworn that Chilchuck was voiced by Minami Takayama, who does Konan, is, like, her probably most prolific role. But she has a very particular voice that I'm usually really good at identifying, because she's one of my favorite views. It's actually not her. So whoever's doing Chilchuck is doing a great job. I think as far as performances go, but again, hard for me to not recommend this show to people, but it definitely isn't like this is the definitively one of the best shows of the year. I may have maybe overhyped myself on it, because it's not that I'm disappointed, but I thought it was going to be better than it was going to be better than this, even though I am up to date on it.
Yeah, maybe if I were to try and put up, I guess the what it feels off, like, maybe it's too close to the manga, so it's paced more like manga and not like anime. I'm not sure. Like, it doesn't feel like they're doing a lot unique, which I guess is a whole discussion in itself. Like, should anime be closer to the manga, or should it do its own thing more? Not sure.
If you ask me 10, 15, 20 years ago, I would probably said it should be as close to the source as possible, but these days I actually prefer for anime to have its own twist, because then it brings a different value than the mm-hmm. manga or other source material, is my interpretation of it. But yeah, I don't know. I guess, again, I mean, it's not that it's good. We all agree it's good, but it's probably none of our favorites, and that's okay.
Yeah.
For people who've watched farther, did the later eps get a bit more trigger? Because I have to say, this is one of the least trigger shows that I've seen so far.
Depends not on what really. You mean.
It doesn't.
If you mean the zany, wacky, like, yeah. wild trigger, nope.
No.
This
no.
is trigger doing a, hey, we have an IP that is pretty established and fleshed out, so we're just going to execute that as well as we can. And to that extent, I think they've done a great job. Again, from an technical standpoint, there's nothing I can be critical about. It's very clean, awesome animated opening. Is just that scene where just it's the people's feet walking down the hall, oh, yeah. and how they're crossing each other, like, oh my god, from just like a technical, like animation technical standpoint, that I like nerded out because it looks so good.
Oh, but yeah.
And the opening is done by Bump of Chicken, which is one of my favorite bands. So
mm-hmm. that's a great one.
But yeah, so I think that's more or less. I'm sorry. No, there is one more that we all. And so we go from kind of one spectrum of the MAL rating to the complete other side with I guess what has been coined within our Kenzoku group here, the Good Hokkaido Show, which is otherwise known as Snack Basue. Dylan, why don't you give us a synopsis of this lovely show?
So it takes place in a snack bar, which I didn't really understand that was a term, and it's about the host and the junior host and a bunch of a cavalcade of roughly 5 different dumb guests that show up, and it's a stupid show that you shouldn't watch, but it's also like, it's just super. It doesn't expect anything of you, and it's actually been pretty fun and entertaining. And I really like the ending, because each ending is a different, like, 80s song that they karaoke to, which has led me down to finding some pretty awesome, like, really good, like, 80s Japanese pop stuff.
Which is kind of great, because that the VAs, or at least, I mean, I only watched the first episode so far, but you know, she's holding back to purposefully sing poorly to do the karaoke.
Yeah, the main Akemi, who's the Chi Mama, she's done. It's Rie Takahashi, who has done 800 million things. She's been in like the anime list goes for quite a while of things that she's done, including various singing things. Is it a show that's for everyone? Definitely not, but it was one that we looked at the preview image and we're like, this is complete garbage. And I was like, all right, I gotta watch this garbage show. And then I was actually like, all right, you know what? It's garbage, but it's actually kind of like, it's kind of fun. I would say that if anyone is going to watch, if you're just like, I just want to watch like one episode of the show, watch episode 6. You don't need to watch the others. It's fine. Episode 6 is actually like, has some pretty cool, fun, ridiculous things in there with like video game stuff, where like the, it's, you know, nothing in this show is a spoiler too, but like the mama, the old woman mama, like she gets glitched out such that like on screen she's like all like crazy glitched with these things, and they take her top off and like do the little blow into her to like clean out the glitches and stuff. And like there's a bunch, and like a character from like someone walks in who's literally like from like Dragon Quest, and she's like, what the hell, I can't help you, like So far too many words, but that I think that's why I find it entertaining. It doesn't really expect much of me, and it exceeds those expectations. And I've had plenty of fights for watching and been like laughing out loud and be like, oh man, this is so dumb. It's ridiculous. You know, and for being a show like that, it doesn't get super cringe either. Like there's like one little bit in early on where they like the mama says like she'll take one for the team when there's like a robber that comes in. But that's kind of the only like semi weird cringe thing in this show. The rest of it's pretty tame. especially these days.
Boy. I think the thing that got me about that show, so I've obviously, as I said, I've only watched one episode, but I feel like I'd probably rather just read the manga, because, I mean, clearly it's based on some manga. It's a lot of just talking and telling jokes, which is, you know, great. Yeah. That's a whole genre. But I, also the animation is the kind of weird Flash-ish style, which, again, for what it is, it's fine, but...
And, like, the one character is super Flash style, but the others are not as flashy.
Wait, which one?
If you've noticed that. I forget his name. One of the guys that shows up regularly wearing the suit, like, he looks super Flash, but, like, everyone else looks way less Flash than him.
Yeah, it's to me, it's the shots and the motions, like, some of the shots with Akemi, you can see that, like, basically she's... It's like, it's almost like live 2D, kind of, except they have drawn some in between frames, but they kind of like bend things at the end. I don't know. It's a little bit unsettling, but again, you know, it's not a pretty show, so it doesn't matter that much.
Yeah. I mean, this show to me falls into the like Masaru-san gag manga beauty category, like gag-like humor, a little bit more refined, and the little
gentleman's gags,
gentleman's gags, yeah, and you know, with more adult topics, adult, not necessarily mean like risque, but more like just topics for like middle-aged people deal with, like you know, the kind of people that frequent snack bars. But yeah, it's I mean, I've only watched one ep, but I'll probably watch more. It's definitely not meant for the masses. That's 100% for sure. It is hideously animated. It's got very little diversity of setting, because I'm assuming every episode happens in the bar. So
yep.
There's basically no new setting, and it's just basically, you know, a series of vignettes between ensemble cast is what it kind of seems like, and if that's not the thing for you, then you're not gonna like it. But
I totally thought this would be like a 5-minute episode show. I was surprised when it was a full 30 minutes.
Yeah,
I mean, it was stitching together like it's almost like an episode of Saturday Night Live, where it was just multiple skits being stitched together until they get to the end. Like, there's no continuity in between. Well, the very little continuity, at least in the first step, they ran the whole gag of, you know, tell me your, you know, what's troubling you, but don't make it too deep and too hard, but, you know. And then they rate it like the first one, they rated it like on the Famitsu scale
or whatever. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a lot of these in jokes that probably, you know, young people won't even understand. But yeah, I think this, you know, if you want something that's really different and is purely meant to be like comical, then you might want to give Smackbus a try. I mean, you know, it's got to be better than, well, let's just go straight into it, it's got to be better than Chain Soldier, right?
I mean, it's not Isekai, it's got that going for it.
Yeah, you know, and it takes place in Hokkaido, which is kind of cool. And they, like, some of the episodes are like, oh, you know, we'll toss this out one here. And, like, they always, like, I don't know these people, that it's, like, these 80s songs are like, oh, man, this is a big, like, Hokkaido hero. Like, someone who was, like, from Hokkaido and was, like, a big, like, 80s music, pop music star. I'm like, oh, it's cool.
Okay, noted.
Oh, man, Change Soldier. It sounded like it had a kind of a cool, like, premise type thing. And then it went into just, like, we're just straight up like dominatrix porno, softcore pornography.
Yep. Its setting could have stood on its own two legs just fine. Like in this world, is it women are born with like various potentials of effectively magic and superpowers, and men are basically born as normies, and and that alone is like, okay, so that basically this, you know, and the world is being assaulted through some mysterious dimension by these monsters, and there's a unit of elites that handle them, and they're all female because in this world they're the ones with the special powers. That setting alone is probably good enough to make a show, and then they decide that no, we're gonna set it up so that the the male lead ends up being dominated by the female lead and like has to like lick her feet and her fingers. And oh. I'm just like, Jesus.
Oh yeah.
That's
yeah.
That's mm-hmm. that's too much.
It's the opposite of what I was expecting from Mike's slavery mention before we were.
Yeah, no, it's literal. No, literal, and it frustrates yeah. me because the opening is really cool. I love the opening; it's super cool, and it's got like, you know, it's got like good edginess to it. But gosh, it's just. I mean, I said it earlier. Like, normally, there's always at least one show a season where it's kind of like a trashy guilty pleasure. This show's just trashy. Like, it's so
yeah.
low-hanging fruit, low effort, just, you know, throw in a bunch of cute girls in military, you know, skimpy military outfits doing hijinks. And then at the very end, it turns into freaking, like, Love Hina, basically. I'm like, oh, God, give me a break. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I can't even really enjoy the opening, because by comparison, while I was watching this show, I had the thought, can I please just be watching Sorcerer Hunters instead? And that opening is still better.
Oh, 100%. I mean, Sorcerer Hunters opening is, in my opinion, legendarily good. So,
And here's the crazy thing, though. By my anime list, which isn't perfect, but it's relative, that show is nearly twice as popular by numbers than Metallic Rouge and has a slightly better rating.
Yeah, but I mean, your average MAL active MALer is that just goes to show what their average, you know.
Yeah, there's a skew.
Audiences. Yeah. Yeah. It's
so yeah, don't watch that show. Don't pretend it's going to be good. It's not.
Yeah, it's not. Spoiler, it's not worth your time.
It's too bad. You're better one.
Is it really? It's not even animated that well.
No, it's seven. It's seven arcs. It's not A1.
Okay. Oh, that makes it labeled on the sheet as A1. Am I reading this wrong?
Oh, I might. My thing might have grabbed something wrong there.
But... No, I see seven arcs on the sheet. I see. So
okay,
what's going on? All right. Well, that makes me feel better. At least that A1.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, me too. At least. Yeah. At least also that the A1 doesn't have like a D team.
Oh, gosh, sorry. I was confusing it with Solo Leveling. Goodness. Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
All right.
I don't think any of us watched that one.
I did. I've watched every episode. I've watched every episode of that trash. It's fine.
Oh. Okay. got it. It's fine trash. Got it.
Yeah, it's fun. It first started out, I was like, ooh, this could actually be kind of cool. There's like these portals and they open up and then you do stuff. And then it ends with the guy all of a sudden is like the only person in the world who can see the secret behind the thing and sees all of his level and stats. And so now he's like a full on like player character in a world. So at least it's kind of like they kind of do this like almost like everyone in the world will almost kind of do a reverse isekai. So at least it's not isekai, but it is still like RPG stats for this. But this guy is the only person who can see the RPG stats. No one else can.
Ugh, that's the second worst thing after a video game
isekai. Yeah. Yeah. So it was disappointing, but you know, like I've watched seven eps. Why? It's fun. It's stupid. I put it on when I'm like, you know, have the TV on and I'm on my treadmill or something like that. And like, it's well done. It's A1 Pictures. Like it is well animated and everything. I like the opening song is pretty cool. So it's fine.
I'll check
it out. You're not missing anything if you don't watch it.
Okay. So don't believe a mail ring.
You're not missing anything if you don't watch it. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. Good. I don't feel too bad then. All right, let's see here. Moving on to things that now most of us has watched. It looks like at least three of us watched at least an episode of Witch and the Beast. It looks like Sam did, Dylan did, and I think I know I did. So, I guess I'll start off with this one. This was one I also had pretty high hopes for because I read the manga, but I will say the show did not translate as well as I would have hoped. It's fine. It's totally fine, and setting wise, it definitely is what I remembered it being. To be fair, I read the manga a bit ago, so my memory's a bit hazy. But you know, I was thinking like, oh yeah, this is going to be kind of like a new Helsing, and I would say that's not quite as dark as Helsing is. It's still pretty dark. If you've watched the first episode, it's, you know, people's hands and feet getting cut off isn't exactly, you know, happy watching, but
feels like maybe a more female gaze Helsing.
Yeah. I mean, Helsing was mostly through the eyes of Celis. Am I missing?
I mean female gaze as in like for a female audience.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yes. Yeah, I think so. But overall, I mean, I'm going to keep watching it because I want to see where it goes. I think the animation's okay. It was not anything, you know, stellar. I wasn't like, you know, super impressed with anything. The opening's okay. Overall, I'm a little disappointed because I would have liked it to be a bit higher quality, but yeah, that's just kind of a personal bias. I don't know. What about you, Sam? It looks like you watched one episode as well.
Yeah, I just watched one episode. I think I'll watch more. It was interesting. I thought there's a pretty good twist in the first episode that I thought was cool. That kind of like explains, just without telling you, like the way things, why certain things are happening, and I thought that was pretty good storytelling. But yeah, it's like extremely tropey, but you know, sometimes that's what you want, and that's okay. You know, like who doesn't love a good shonen battle manga, even though we've all seen them a billion times or read them. I feel the same way with this kind of thing. Like, you know, guys searching for the witch that did the curse or whatever, you know, I was like, oh, okay. I mean, it's fun. I'll check out more.
What about you, Dylan?
Yeah, I think it was cool. And I think in some ways it has a lot of the same feel as the trash show of
Kingdom of Ruin.
Yeah, Kingdom of Ruin. Because it's from the same studio. It's from the same Yokohama Animation Lab.
And both kind of involve witches in a way. Yep. So
witches, they have some of that same kind of like the, I don't know if it's actually is the same character designer that they have there, but it has definitely a very similar artistic feel to it, which I think actually worked well there, and I could see it working well. So this was one I just kind of picked up later in the season, but yeah, I'll definitely watch some more. It seems cool. So
yeah, I guess that's the best way to put it. It's pretty cool. Yeah, I would say Witch and the Beast pretty cool. I would say with you pretty much right away, what you see is what you get. So if that's what you're looking for, you'll probably be satisfied. If it's not what you're looking for, then you probably aren't going to be surprised or be impressed. So, yeah. Yep, that's pretty much it. Let's see here. I believe what I see here as labeled the bad Hokkaido show is Hokkaido girls are super cute. So all the Kenzuki, aside from myself, watch that one. So I will abstain and pass this one off to Sam to try to justify it first.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It looked cute, and I've seen my share of these kinds of shows, and sometimes they're okay. And this one was pretty irredeemable. a guy moves to Hokkaido because his dad gets transferred there or whatever, and randomly meet some gal, like Japanese gal, which is like a girl who, I don't know, this is a really bad description, but they dress in skimpy clothes, usually have like dyed hair and
super tanned.
Super tanned, yeah. And in this one they all have...
Are they even still a thing anymore? Like, I feel like that was more a moment 20 years ago almost.
It's still a Ganguro thing,
but it's kind of the age bracket stayed the same. So you just see like gals that are like in their like mid to late 30s now.
I think the thing from back then was Ganguro, which was, I think is slightly different. And this is more, less offensive. I don't know, but. Yeah, anyways.
No, there was Gyaru and Ganguro separately because they were both in Super Gals, Kotobuki Ran.
Oh my gosh. That's true.
Yeah, come on.
That's true. Good God. Okay. Schooled by Lore Master Mike. live in 48 kilohertz. So yeah, I don't know. It was bad. It was like not even softcore porn. And if you want that, there's places you can get that. I really hate when you have these milquetoast Tenshi like dudes that have no redeeming quality, but for some reason the girls are really into them. And at the same time, they're really oblivious. Like, oh, come over to my house. My parents aren't home. Oh, really? Oh, so we can all sit in the living room where the floor is heated because it's cold in Hokkaido. Like, oh, kill me. I hated it so much that I could barely had to force myself to finish the episode, but I was basically skipping forward in like, you know, 5 second chunks to kind of see if it got better. And no, it didn't. It was really very awful.
Yeah, just not to interject, but going back to the topic of Gal real quick, I think a good modern example of Gal in anime is Kitagawa in Dress Up Darling. She's very Gal-like in her mannerisms and her way she dresses. But that's funny because that show has got similar trappings, but is executed exceptionally well. So you can definitely do the milquetoast guy, you know, meets a girl, but you need to put a proper, like,
he had redeeming qualities. Like, he had the skill.
This is true.
He was earnest. Yeah. This guy is just like nothing. He's like a piece of paper.
Got it.
It's so perfect. Terrible. Yeah.
Apparently, I watched 4 episodes
of
this show.
justify yourself, Dylan.
I don't know. It was, or I don't know why. I was filling time. I kept wanting it to be better because, like, I'm like, oh man, just have this be more about Hokkaido. I just want to see a show that's about Hokkaido.
Yeah, Hokkaido facts.
Yeah, like, I have to admit, it has more Hokkaido than the good Hokkaido show, but that's not saying much.
But it's not really. And it was very confusing, too, because, like his grandmother's there, and, like, it seems like at some point that, like, she was from Hokkaido, but then in another part, like, she doesn't know how to walk outside, and I'm like, what the hell's wrong with these people? Like, I live in Buffalo. It gets cold here. Like, probably not that much different from Hokkaido weather. And it's like, no, I was so disappointed. It was more on the banana eating girls and less on Hokkaido. And that made me sad.
Did they do that?
Oh yeah, they totally do that. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I don't remember if it was an actual banana, but it was all of the banana eating trope stuff is done.
Oh,
there's at least one of those things in every episode with the different girl that does some sort of banana eating thing. Yeah,
it's like it's milquetoast, and yet it is still not an airplaneable show.
It's bad. Yeah, just don't watch it.
Okay, great conclusion. Hokkaido is a super cute. Don't watch it. I'm glad I didn't. All right, so no, I don't think I will.
Yes, keep up the good work, Nick.
Speaking of, maybe you guys can bring up things maybe I do want to watch, because I think Sam and Dylan were the only two to watch Brave Bang Bravern. So why don't you go to try to sell this show on me?
Dylan, go ahead.
So it's a mecha show that both follows and violates the rules of mecha show, where a guy gets forced to ride in the, you know, to be the pilot, and he's literally like, you hear the theme song playing and the guy's literally like, where is this music coming from? Why is this music being played? And the robot has its own personality. My opinion is, I think this is my favorite show of the season. I think it's I think it's fabulous.
It's so
ridiculous, and it makes fun of kind of like all the weird robot tropes and stuff, while also being kind of a cool like robot show in itself too. The ending.
Oh my god!
Animation is so it's so hilarious.
This show is very BL friendly.
Yes, it is. It is very BL friendly, and it makes fun of itself for being very BL friendly while also being BL friendly. It's like it absorbs all these tropes and is like, yeah, we're gonna have fun with this. And the show is, I think it's way better than I was thinking that it was supposed to be, and it's one that I'd be like, oh yeah, you should definitely check it out. Like, it's
wait, hold up, Cygames has an animation studio?
Oh yeah.
Oh, Yeah, I guess I'm not surprised. I mean, they're like the biggest mobile game developer in Japan. So, interesting.
Yeah, so it's one that I was super surprised at and was like so glad that I was pointed to this one because it's so ridiculous, and I definitely would never have watched it from looking at the
key art.
Yeah, the key art for it.
It's surprisingly, I think, it's made with a surprising amount of care. There's just a random example. There's an episode where like the main character goes to a bar and, you know, he's feeling kind of down, but everybody's like cheering for him. They're like, oh, hey, look, it's the hero, blah, blah, blah. You saved us all. And let me buy you a beer and all this stuff. And it's like, oh, is your robot out front? I'm going to go bring him some sausages. And then just a throwaway line. And then like, you know, later on, the guy goes out to his robot to go leave the bar, and the robot, they make no mention of it at all, but he's got like a bunch of sausages hanging off of him, off of his face. It's just like, it's just there. It's so great. That's the kind of show this is.
Okay, I'll give it at least a depth. It seems...
Same, yeah.
It seems like it's... it almost seems like it's fourth wall breaking in some ways, which definitely is... a change of pace from big mecha shows. Let's see here. All right, you guys sold me on it. I'll watch it. Hopefully tomorrow.
Since you don't have to waste your time watching Solo Leveling or the Bad Hokkaido Show now, you can just watch a great show instead. That's really I agree. It's a show that's been done with a lot of care. That should have probably been a complete throwaway. It's the opposite of the Hokkaido Girls show. It's one that should have been a complete throwaway garbage show, but is actually well executed. And you're like, oh, this is actually like a cool show, and I care about people in here.
All right, good. I need to support more anime like that. So.
Worth mentioning too is directed by Masami Obari. So,
oh well, that kind of tracks on the genre. So yeah. Likes the big bombastics, you know, like Sentai or big mecha stuff. So cool. Alright. Let's see here. I think there's other stuff. Oh, Butchigiri. So that was one I was on the fence about. So Sam and Dylan, again, you two are the only ones to watch any of that. So how is MAPPA's offering this season?
It's animated really well, I'll say. I think I'm only two or three episodes in. This is another very BL show, but it's pretty fun. It's not super great, but yeah, you know how we joke about A and B teams. Like, this is definitely the A team at MAPPA doing this one. Guy in, I don't know, fictional Japanese town that's kind of India kind of mixed in. It almost seems like a Okinawa type thing. I'm not sure, but they haven't really explained exactly what's going on, at least as far as I've seen. Maybe Dylan has a better insight, but like, there's this spirit that possesses the main character that makes him strong if he like gives him his wish, and his wish is like to lose his virginity, and that makes him like super strong for a second when they got Tai. And he punches people a couple of times. I don't know. I'm doing a terrible job of explaining this. Maybe Dylan could do a better job. It's weird.
Yeah, I think I agree. It's another show where you're like, you know what? It's fun if you want to watch a nicely drawn show. The main character is slightly better than Milktoast. Other people are kind of fun and ridiculous in it. I think the funniest part of the whole thing is like, it's in some ways it's kind of like if everyone in Cromarty was like super serious about fighting.
Yeah. Yes.
You've piqued my interest.
It's well, like if don't... everyone that if well, it's not like Cromarty like hilarious like that, but it people are kind of equally ridiculous, but they're all ridiculous and all about fighting, and that's it.
And they all take it very seriously. It's a integral yes. part of their school culture. It's a school completely filled with delinquents.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes. And the main guy, of course, makes the worst love interest choice he could possibly do, yes. which is hilarious. And at every choice, at every opportunity, the main character makes just compoundingly dumb choices.
I do like how the design for the spirit that's possessing him when he's just a little ghost thing is basically a face directly attached to a butt with arms coming out.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
How I've not seen this in key art?
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
They're hiding it from you.
Oh, I see.
So yeah, it's another one that I'm like, you know what? It's a fun show. Looks nice. Very the leader of I forget what its name, the chain gang, the gang that wears a lot of chains. Sigma Squad, like that guy has to be hell to animate and draw because it's like animating like Alucard or something like that, where he's got all sorts of like chains and things hanging in and out of him and all over the place. And so it's a fun show. You know, it's one you could watch the first episode, and if you don't like it at all, definitely stop. It doesn't change from there, which is fine.
Yeah. And if you'd watch nothing else, at least check out the opening and ending, because they're both excellent, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty fun.
I'll do at least that much.
I hear the opening in my head right now.
All right. Maybe I'll put that on the plausible pile for myself. Okay. I think that's basically everything that we have all watched, at least in some capacity as far as like groups. I'm trying to see other things other people have watched. Let's see here. Sam, looks like you... wait, no, that's a continuing one. That doesn't count.
Well, can we talk about Shangri-La Frontier? Yeah.
I'll talk about it. I'm okay to talk about Shangri-La Frontier. Yeah, let's do that.
You see some, so why don't you go?
Yeah, so it's a genre that is already like starting like honestly 6 feet underground for me because it's a game isekai. So it has a mighty tall mountain to climb for me, but they executed it super well, I gotta say. The nice thing is that, at least from as far as I've seen, it's not super high stakes. Like, it's not like they're stuck there, right? They're mm-hmm. just playing the game. And the main character is a super min-max like gamer who his whole goal in life is to play really crappy games, also, you know, colloquially known as kusoge, because that's just his thing. And then he decides, you know, I've played enough kusoge for a while, how about I play something that everybody's playing? And I guess Shangri-La Frontier is basically the FF14 of this this show. Like, everybody's playing it, and he decides he's gonna, you know, min-max it. So he picks, you know, a character class and says, well, I don't want people to recognize me, so I'm gonna make my avatar look wild, and which is why he decided that he's gonna go with a bird's head and no armor, so basically boxers, and that's it. And because innately he understands gaming at, you know, he's a gamer, right? So he just understands exactly what he needs to do. So he's like skipping all these beginner zones and doing a lot of stuff on his own, and like just generally ends up having a pretty good time, and, you know, runs into roadblocks. And nothing particularly plot-wise, like, remarkable happens, really, but it's just executed so well. It's almost like a Tensura situation where there's nothing super shocking about the show, mm-hmm. and it's pretty low stakes, but it's executed well, and it's fun to watch. So I greatly enjoy it. I would say for anybody who's like me and is a game isekai poo-pooer, give this one at least a couple of eps. It may actually be one that sticks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you watch any of that, Dylan?
No, I say, like, because part of your description is, like, it's a game isekai and nothing happens in min-max. I'm like, man, you're not selling me on this. And then you're like, no, it's actually really well done. You should just give it a watch. It might actually be good. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
I can always have more trash shows.
It's definitely worth giving it a shot. I'm going to
continue
watching.
It's got a banger opening, too.
Oh, yeah, the opening is great. But it's one of those where, like, I start getting into it, and then I'm like, oh, wait a minute, they're just playing a video game. None of this matters at all. and like the stakes immediately evaporate. But there is like a little romance subplot that's going, but I wish they would kind of tug on that a little bit more, because it does put more real stakes into it. But, you know, if you just think about it as somebody playing a game, and there are real people in the real world that he knows or kind of knows that he's meeting up with stuff. Yeah, it's funny and silly. So, yeah, I don't know. Check it out.
Right, popcorn fair. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's, yeah, I'm not going to try to justify and say it's like show of the year, but it's popcorn, and it's, depending on what you're into, it could be the flavor that you want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would say, yeah, it's surprised me. It was recommended to me by a very close friend of mine who generally understands my taste in anime, so they don't make recommendations that I think are completely unfounded, and I decided to give it a go, and I was like, oh, this is actually okay. The reason he recommended it, I don't necessarily buy, because he says the main character in some ways reminds him of me. I'm like, I don't know about that.
You do
I don't
go feel like... walking around wearing bird head masks all
the time. Yeah, in my boxers.
Yes.
Yeah, I sure do.
I do like that when they, a few times they acknowledge that it is just a mask, that like they never show what his face looks like in game. They make sure to like.
Yeah, I do like, at least as far as, you know, what's been aired.
Yeah, sure.
So I don't know later. If it'll be that way forever, but yeah. You know,
it's fun.
We'll find out. Yeah. I guess. Well, since we've kind of gotten to the point where we've discussed everything that groups of us watched, does anybody want to take the soapbox and talk about a show they watched that they thought was worth watching or was completely irredeemable and just want to get off their chest? How about, I think, Sam, it looks like you, generally speaking, had one of the longer watch lists. You and Dylan, I think, had the longest. So either of you two have something that you want to try to justify or decry?
I will say, and just a couple of things that weren't mentioned that I watched, Sasaki and Peeps. It's a... We started watching this one, and I said, no, thank you, very quickly. Because I've watched this show before. It's basically the isekai campfire cooking thing. It's like literally the exact same thing. And so I didn't want to watch another. Like, the first one was okay and it was done kind of decently, but I didn't want to watch it twice. It's, you know, guy gets a bird that is able to makes a contract with the bird and he can go to another world. He learns magic and then he goes basically between worlds selling the stuff from our world in their world. It's just like the the other one that I watched and am continuing to watch is The Wrong Way to Use Healing Magic, which it's an isekai, of course, is, you know, flip a coin and it's probably 50-50 chance it's an isekai. It's actually a cool premise. It's just a shame that it's an isekai. The idea is basically this guy gets transported to another world. He is a special with two other classmates, and he wasn't supposed to be transported, but it turns out like they have an affinity for, like, I don't know, one's like water and the other's lightning or something like that. And he has a strong affinity for magic. And there's this lady who runs like the magic or healing magic. There's this lady that runs the healing magic squad, and she like is very fearsome because the way she uses healing magic is basically almost offensively, which is kind of interesting. Not directly, their goal is still to heal people, but it's kind of like, well, if you have healing magic, right, like you can basically train forever because you can just heal yourself and you can do all these crazy things that offensively to kind of like bolster your attack by just healing yourself. I don't know. It's a really neat concept. They didn't need to make it an isekai. So I thought that was kind of tragic. But I don't know. It's okay.
And Dylan, it looks like you watched, an episode of Dangerous in My Heart.
Yeah, I saw that because I saw that Sam had watched a few episodes of that one. So I was like, all right, let me give this a check. It's all right. I'm not quite sure if it's going to be good or go to trash. The one thing I will say is the opening is by Yoshika, which I recognize the voice immediately. I was like, oh, which is like probably I don't know. They might be my, they're one of my top five bands right now. I love their, I love Yoroshika. Like, their music is so cool. So I was like, oh, I'm in on this show literally just because they do the opening. That's fine. That's enough reason to watch the show. If you ever, look up Yoroshika, they're my favorite album there is called Plagiarism from 2023. Yeah, 2023. It was definitely the best album
that year. They have some really cool music videos. I know.
I haven't seen music videos. I just listen to everything they do. It's really, I really like them. So I was like, huh. The show's okay. It's one of those ones I'm like, it could either get somewhere kind of interesting or it could just completely fall apart. It's got a second season, I guess, so it's been somewhat popular enough.
Yeah,
that's what had me interested. That's a good or bad thing.
I was tempted to go back to it because it got a second season, because it wasn't like terrible, but it was just kind of what?
There.
What
is...
I don't know.
Okay, I think that's kind of right. Like, yeah, it's kind of there. It's not terrible. It's not overly. It's not a sex slave show.
Big plus.
Yeah. I haven't seen any outrageous banana eating. It veers on the edge of banana eating, but they don't quite eat the banana.
They don't quite eat the banana, no.
If I'm in a soapbox on a show, I'll get back on the bum 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 Brave On train.
Yes. And
just watch Braver and it's great.
Yeah, it's even got the right opening for it.
Okay, then maybe with the remaining handful of minutes we have, we can look over what the masses that are on MAL are watching versus us Kenzoku here. So off the top for this season, it looks like Solo Leveling is overwhelmingly one of the most popular as far as total number of views. So I suppose that tracks with the whole isekai A1 and isekai. Put that together and
on Solo Leveling, I will say it's almost the interesting thing is it's from a manhwa. It's like a web manhwa, so like all the character names are actually all like Korean names. They didn't go and like rename people with Japanese or whatever names.
Tower of God was too. That was manhwa and all the characters retained their Korean names, which I respect. I think that's cool to see. I'm glad to see we're seeing other mediums actually get animated and show, hey, there's some cool stuff out there that's written by non-Japanese people. So
meanwhile, it's still just if the names had not been in like Korean, then you would like if they changed the names to Japanese, you'd be like, oh yeah, of course this was some like random thing that somebody did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it's not like it feels different.
It feels pretty formulaic in the but again, when you think about what appeals to the masses, if you put isekai and A1 together, it's gonna give results. So
that
surprised me a ton. I mean, when you look at the top three shows, two of the three are done by A1, and the other being the next season of Mashle, which doesn't surprise me. Again, nothing against Mashle. I think it's perfectly fine. It's animated well. It's, you know, it's shonen. It's a little bit different formula of the shonen thing, and it's totally reasonable to watch.
Creepy Nuts
Classroom
opening.
It's got Creepy Nuts opening? Oh,
yeah.
Cool. Okay.
All right.
That makes it automatically a whole point higher in my head.
It's so good.
Good to see that they're being used for more anime stuff. They're too good. Classroom of the Elite. I have not watched any of this, so I couldn't tell you if this. I mean, it looks like it's based off a light novel, so I can kind of have a vague. And yeah, key art is standard classroom stairwell with a bunch of various hair colored girls and a dude. So I can only imagine what it's about. Yawn. And then going here.
Has anyone seen any of that Tsukimichi show?
I have not.
Wait, what is that one? That sounds very familiar. Moonlit
Fantasy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I watched the first season of that show. It's an isekai. It's fun. It's competently executed. It's another one that's kind of like Slime, although I think Slime is way better. But check out the... It's worth checking out. You know, give it an episode or two of the first season.
My barometer for isekai is it better? Is it good? As good as or better than Slime? If the answer is no, it's unlikely to watch it.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, fair.
Unfortunately, Chained Soldier still... It seems to be up in the top 10, which I understand why. I just don't like it.
Unfortunately.
I don't. It's not even, like, animated or done well.
It's not. It's just purely on the cake, and that's, you know, like, I understand it sells.
Like, yeah. If that one had been done by, like Yokohama Animation Lab, like, I would actually look a lot better, and I think I probably still wouldn't like it, but I think I'd be like, all right, at least this sounds like the right studio.
It would actually be
pseudo-watchable. Yeah, maybe. It'd be like, at least this would be the right studio to make this sort of, like, unwatchable, watchable trash show that you're like, ooh, man, I feel dirty watching this.
I mean, it's not followed too far behind by the bad Hokkaido show, so again, cake sells. I get it.
Yeah.
Blue Exorcist. I didn't even know they were still animating this. Same. Is a surprise. Yeah. Wow. Good for them. And then Witch and the Beast. Yeah, that's fine. I think it's about the right spot. Metallic Rouge should be higher, in my opinion. I feel like Witch and the Beast and Metallic Rouge should be switching spots. That's just my opinion. But
yeah, I'm very surprised at how low Metallic Rouge has ended up.
Yeah, I mean, Butchigiri drops even lower. And then Yummy Snack Bus was like scraping bottom, but that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Yeah.
the new Shaman King, I would have watched it, but it's currently unwatchable in the USA. It still does not have a streaming partner.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't want to I'm a huge Shaman King fanboy, so I would have loved to have seen it. But Flowers is like the spiritual follow up to the main story, and it's only existed in manga for 20-ish years, so... but yeah, I didn't want to illegally watch it, so I will wait. Somebody should pick it up. It's popular enough, I assume, so... scraping bottom here, we got High Card Season 2. I'm surprised Season 1 did good enough to get a Season 2, so... Go figure. As Sam said, it is a Fujoshi bait, so maybe that fan base really... really carried it.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
Yeah. Overall, I would say this season doesn't have any, like, distinct standouts, which surprised me, because I thought there were gonna be some strong contenders, and not that there aren't, but there's nothing here that made me be like, oh, like Free Run last season, like, oh yeah, this is the show. Period. Like, nothing really gave me that so far, so a little
there
surprising.
There isn't even that one inevitable Sentai show that justifies your subscription for the season.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising to me too. Like, I thought there would be one, but there is not.
Yeah, I'm right there with you guys. That's why I watched Chain Soldier. I'm like, oh, this is the exclusive this season for High Dive. Let's see if it's any good. Nope.
I feel like that maybe was a Kikai J type situation where they thought it would be better when they grabbed the license, and then it came out and they're like, oh no.
But it's been like, popular enough.
I mean, I guess,
you know,
that's
relatively
true. Just not for us.
No.
Yeah, it's just not for us. And that's okay.
Well, I mean, clearly we're more in the Snack Boss demographic.
Yeah. We're the 6,083 people that actually prefer Snack Boss away, so...
Well, we're four of them anyway.
Yeah.
And the 6,000 is a small enough number that we're actually almost a percent.
Yeah, we're meaningful. We're meaningful.
We're a tenth of a percent anyway.
Okay. Well, I think that just about wraps up tonight's episode. Our topic for the next episode will be Shin Godzilla, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, it is right.
That is correct.
Oh,
so that
God,
is
I'm so excited.
That is the first of the Shin series. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That done by the illustrious Hiroaki Anno. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to finally watching that, because
Same.
Yeah, I want to see his take on Godzilla. So that'll be exciting. So yeah, you guys have that to look forward to.
It is up and streaming on Crunchyroll.
Crunchyroll.
So you can also purchase discs. I purchased a disc at some point. It's got a cool extra interview thing with some Godzilla fans that did like a 45-minute interview, kind of talking about it and other Godzilla films and stuff. If you just want the film, it's up on Crunchyroll. Looks good.
Yeah, it's like $5 on iTunes too.
Oh yeah, that might have been what I did. I might have got the iTunes. I think I got it on iTunes and it had like that extra interview. I think that's how I got it.
That's what I did.
There he goes. So multiple ways to watch it. So
everyone, you guys should watch it. I'm so excited for this episode.
Well, as am I. But until then, this is AMO Kenzoku signing off. Saraba.